Hi, Mike and Steve here with Kenrick's Meats and Catering, family-owned and operated for over 40 years, to invite you to check out St. Louis's largest butcher shop.
We are home to the Ozark Grillers, bacon-wrapped beef with cheddar cheese, and about 50 other unique specialty products to put on the grill. Kenrick's proudly makes over 80 varieties of sausage in our sausage kitchen.
Also, call Kenrick's for your backyard parties, graduations, or any occasion. Kenrick's fully prepared foods are ready for pickup or delivery. Thrill your grill with Kenrick's Meats.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Come here, girl. You want a trip?
Well, Doug, you might get an opportunity to see it on Saturday or Sunday if the Blues can win tomorrow night in Dallas.
What's that?
Tribbing.
Oh.
By the way, Larry Nickel can't call in because he's in the middle of class, but he says Mr. Fuji was an awesome manager.
He was the guy that threw the rice over the shoulder.
Ah, I understand. Thompson Coburn told me that.
So was he Yokozuna?
No, that's also offensive.
But just so who was he managing? No, I'm saying, was he managing Yokozuna? That's what I
thought. Oh, I see.
I know they're not the same person.
Right, because that's where it would have gotten Hench and upset. Hey, Chase is on the line, and he probably wants to, he just doesn't want any part of this. Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital. Good morning, Chaser.
Hi, guys. Now, are you talking wrestling? Because, like, in Canada, it used to be Stampede Wrestling.
Ooh, Stampede Wrestling. Nice. I didn't know about this.
Oh, yeah. In the meantime and in between time, this is another edition of Stampede Wrestling.
Oh, man. I'm going to go YouTube some Stampede today.
Mr. Fuji do any managing up that way?
Mr. Fuji, I think he might have started up there. I think he had to Davey Boy Smith, the Dynamite Kid, so all the Hart brothers that were in it,
yes.
They were all started up in Canada, Calgary, Alberta.
That's right, Doug. Huh. Calgary, Brett the Hitman Hart.
Calgary.
That's right. There you go.
That's right. The basement at the Hart Foundation. That's exactly right. Hey, it's Kelly Chase, and he's presented by GFI Digital. After every Stanley Cup playoff game during the Blues run, which we hope goes on for another month. I saw your tweet right before the game last night. So many people shared your enthusiasm and anticipation. And then 5 minutes in, after really dominating play, the Stars get on the board. They follow 20 seconds later with another goal, and the air was sucked out of the building. Your take on what we saw just in those that first 10 minutes, Chaser, how the Blues were all in their zone, and then all of a sudden the Stars were able to break through and then put another one on the board right as they're announcing the first goal.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those situations where, you know, they capitalized on opportunities. We talked about this earlier. Hey, before we go, are you guys getting a huge echo back in your headsets like I am?
We are. You sound good to us, but we can call you back okay. If you're having an issue.
No, I can put up with it.
Okay, all right, fair enough. No, you sound good. Go ahead, sir.
All right. You know what it was is we talked about this. You get opportunities and you capitalize on it. Well, look at, you know, they had an opportunity, a little bit of a broken play. They capitalized on Elliott with the first shot. The second one is just a guy driving the net that gets redirected. So those shots were all stopped in game five. And so Els, you know, didn't get a piece of it. But on the third goal, there's a classic example of, you know, Bolt catches a wheel and goes down. And they got a clear lane to the net, and they capitalized. Like, the Blues have been taking advantage of the Stars all series in those situations. And it was the Stars that did it last night. So in game five, truthfully, you know, the Blues were lucky in the first period. They weren't lucky last night. And I think Lindy Ruff kept talking about puck luck. They got a little of that last night. And you saw what happened after that when the Blues started, you know, kept pressing. But I think it was the third goal that really hurt them.
Hitchcock wouldn't say after the game who his goalie will be in game seven. It's got to be Elliott, isn't it? Or you think he might go with Allen?
I would go with Allen because... I don't know what they're going to do, but this is how you look at it. Either way, your goaltender is not going to cost you that game. I don't believe. If he does, then you haven't come to play. And so, and the reason I say that has nothing to do with Elliott, because he's been fantastic and is fantastic. And I think he's a guy that you would put right back in there in game one. But I just think he's played so many games in such a short time. If there is a little fatigue, it could be setting in. But the other thing is that I know that the team is fatigued, and you watch Jake Allen play the puck. He's like having another defenseman out there. It might do a lot for taking a lot of the time and stress off your D the way he can handle a puck and move it up. So for me, either one of them that are in that is a good call. I don't think you're going to get hurt either way. It shouldn't be the goaltender that's the difference in this game seven. You want him to make solid saves, but you certainly don't want him to be in a situation where they have to be the difference. They got to be good. But the Blues team has to play desperate hockey like they did in the game last night. And I mean, look, the Blues dominated the hockey game last night, a loss. And you can say, oh, that five-minute stretch. No, the five-minute stretch is where Dallas capitalized. They weren't dominating play in that five-minute stretch. They just capitalized on some opportunities. The Blues were a half an inch away from ending up on a breakaway on the second goal. Oduya breaks it up, sends it the other direction, and they score. It might have been the third goal where they make it 2-1. Like, so you can't talk about, they didn't come to play, or they let, the emotions and everything were there. You saw by how hard they pushed back the entire game. But they lost a hockey game, but maybe it should have been the one they lost the game before.
And, Chaser, you said there that you think Allen should be there in net, and after the game, Ken Hitchcock said he wanted to sleep on the decision. Do you think he will go that route, or do you think when we see game seven, it'll be Elliott?
Let me clarify that. I'm not saying he should be. I don't think Ken Hitchcock can be knocked if he does that, because that will be the mindset. I don't think that he should. I'm not saying he should be, because Brian Elliott has certainly deserved the right to be in a game seven as well. But it's not. I don't think it's going to impact the team if he is or he's not. And I think the advantage of him and his mindset that he's sleeping on is whether or not he's got a guy that can be out there playing the puck and take a little bit of the stress and pressure off the tee. So, because you saw what St. Louis does when they don't spend time in their end. I mean, it's just like a constant attack. And Jake was a part of that offense last night, moving the puck up there. So I'm not saying he should be. That's not what I mean. What I said was, if when Ken Hitchcock's thinking about it, that's what he's thinking. He's thinking, I got a guy that can relieve some of the pressure off the defense, and I know that he's capable of stopping pucks. He's been great all year.
I've had a lot of people talking about the Bouwmeester today, that he shouldn't have fallen down, and he's the weak link. That's craziness, isn't it? What have you thought about his play?
That's easy, you can say, oh, yeah, we shouldn't have fallen down. Well, hey, listen, those things happen. You go out there and try and play at the pace that those guys play. I mean, he pivots and he catches an edge. That happens, every game to somebody. And again, if they don't score on that, you don't even hear Bo's name, because he was up on the play last night. He was a reason why they got one. He was on for two goals for as well, but, you hear his name because of the obvious. So, you know what? For me, I look at the game. I understand how, the emotions of the fans and everything, but realistically, in order for the Blues to win, they'll have to cut down on those things that could be. They could go in and get a chance on that. They could take it to the net if we don't slide it along the ball wall. Look at Cole Parayko. Has been great in the playoffs for a kid that's never been in a competitive situation, but he got three guys out high. He doesn't get the puck through. That resulted in the first goal. You probably haven't had a whole pile of people calling in, knocking on Colt, man. It's not a big mistake. It's just something that they capitalized on.
So what kind of game seven are you expecting?
Well, I look at the way they finished this hockey game, and I think it does us a huge benefit to know that if we apply that kind of pressure, that's going to be the difference. I think Steen and Backes were, your two your leaders that are up front were good. Well, Alex Steen is one of the most, if you look at Alex Steen, the way he plays, he's one of the most versatile players in the National Hockey. Look at this guy. He's played with everybody in this playoff. He's played center. He's played wing. He plays a point in a power play. If he's not their most valuable player, all-around player, I don't know who is. Okay? So he has to come and have a big game again. That's just the pressure that's on that type of player. Same thing with David Backes. But Vladdy Tarasenko has to be a difference maker, as does Caden Schwartz. And I think if no matter who's in the middle, because Steen played between the two last night in the second and third, and I thought they were very effective. So if you watch, you know, kind of how the game evolved, they have lots of good options there. But those types of players have to be the guy. Vladdy's got to realize when he has puck pressure and decides it's his puck and wants to be aggressive, he's a completely different player. He played like that in second and third last night. He will be a difference maker if he plays like that.
Yeah, Chase, I was going to ask you that. Do you think the fact that Vladdy has been neutralized a bit the last few games, is that more his style or something that you think Dallas is doing defensively?
I think Vladdy's neutralized himself because they're taking away a little bit of space. But if Vladdy gets his feet moving and plays aggressive like he did in the second and third, you've seen there was more opportunities, because when they're playing tight to him like that, it's almost another guy kind of, look, I'm going to go check Vladdy, and my teammate's going to make sure that he supports me. And when that happens, somebody's got a little bit more space. Give Steen a little bit more space. Give Schwartz a little bit more space. They're going to get opportunities. That game could have been tied with the puck going up 3 more inches when Schwartz shot the puck. And the reason that he was open a little bit, because everybody's playing a little tighter to Tarasenko.
They've already proven they can win a Game 7, having done that against the Blackhawks. That kind of experience help at all? Does that help calm the nerves a little bit to know that these guys have been there and done that?
It hardens you a little bit. You know how to feel going into that. But, you know, look, Dallas is going to come out flying. They're a hell of a good hockey team. You know, we've already known that, you know, they won the Western Conference. They're a good team. They didn't get there with smoke and mirrors. So really, what we're looking at right now with this team is you know, a little bit of veteran leadership and a consistency in a game and a game plan. And if they get that, I like where the Blues are. I mean, when I came on the show and talked about it before the series, I said it's going to be 6 games. And when you see how Dallas, I have more respect for Dallas than I had prior to the series. Not that I didn't respect Dallas, I just didn't think that they had the same veteran presence and maybe a little bit of the same defense core that was going to be effective. Now the Blues have exposed it at times, but they are resilient. You got to give them credit. They didn't get 100 and however many points because they just blew on offense and didn't care at all about their other end. And the other thing was, is Kari Lehtinen finally stole a hockey game for them, and that's exactly what happened last night.
Kelly Chase, our guest, he is presented by GFI Digital. I think going into Game 7 against the Blackhawks, and I think you may have actually said these words that I would paraphrase, just in fairness, that this really is going to define the legacy, the era of a number of people tonight, and this was on the Monday of that Game 7 at Scott Trade Center. I feel like that was a breakthrough, and I realize in the moment after a loss in Game 6 and many fans understandably hoping and anticipating they would advance to the Western Conference Finals, that sentiment necessarily may not be popular at this moment, but that was a breakthrough, from my standpoint anyway, win for the Blues, and therefore the postseason, for my money, was already a success. And that's not to say I'm handing out participation trophies, but it was a major win, and what they've done so far has already been an accomplishment. However, the spectrum of what the organization could accomplish with a win tomorrow night is so vast. Yes, it would just be another second-round loss if they were to lose, and it would be even more devastating because, unlike the Red Wings in 2002, where they were never really in the series, this one they were up 3-2. If you can win tomorrow night, now, A, you're in conference finals, but, B, you don't sit there and go, oh, my God, we're up against Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh. Don't get me wrong, San Jose and Nashville, talented teams. But going to the Stanley Cup Finals and winning the Stanley Cup is in play. So therefore, the range of outcomes for this organization tomorrow night, so vast. A different type of importance, I'd gather, than the Blackhawks one, because you're defining an era slash legacy for a number of people. But this one could be the one that puts the organization on a path that it's never experienced. Your analysis on this Game 7 versus the one we saw 15 days ago, Chaser.
What's odd is, remember we had a conversation about St. Louis and San Jose getting the smell of L.A. and Chicago off their hands.
Yeah.
And here we are today having the same exact conversation about St. Louis and San Jose about getting through the second round of the playoffs. And really, that's exactly what it is. In St. Louis, they know They have you get very few opportunities. It's harder to realize when you're a young guy because you always believe that there's going to be another year we're going to get a chance. And then they wake up in the morning on July 6th and there's a phone call and they're playing in Edmonton, a rebuilding team, and you go, holy shit, what just happened here? You know? And so what happens in this situation is that I think that the older players that have been around here long enough know that they've been through the rebuilding, and I would hope they recognize that this is truly an opportunity to do something that, you know, no one else has done in St. Louis, A. And B, as I said, define a career and write your story. Because in this game, you believe that you can always win. I know in my head, at the end of seasons, I believed I was going to win a Stanley Cup as a player. I won in, I was a winner in junior. I was, you know, I was a winner with in the minors. Every second or third year, I was able to be on a team that consistently played for a championship, whether it be, you know, a Canadian championship or whatever it was we were playing for. And then you go to the minors after we lose out and you win another, and you're like, well, this is just how it works. Well, that's not how it works. And when you finish your career, You look back and know you'll never have that opportunity again to carry the cup around with sweat on you as a player. You just don't get, and it feels a little bit of an empty feeling because you didn't get there. And I think there's more and more guys that have been here a long time through that building process that realize you don't get many opportunities with teams like this to be a difference maker. And whether it's David Backes and Troy Brower, Alex Steen, Kevin Shattenkirk, those guys whose contracts two are up at the end of the year, two that are going to be up the following season, they could find themselves on a very different type of team in their career.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, the changes that have to be made for you to get to that next step. So they want to take advantage of it. And I think the Blues recognize that. They've all year had resolve. All year they've had, you know, they've never done anything easy all year. And I just have to choose to believe that that's exactly what we're going to see again here on Wednesday night.
Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, giving us his perspective not only on last night, but what to anticipate tomorrow night in Dallas. He'll be on the call with Chris Kerber on KMOX. Chaser, we appreciate the time. Safe travel, sir.
Boys, thanks for helping me out this morning.
Thank you for joining us. That's Kelly Chase with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI Digital has you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. GFIdigital.com. I have to issue the official apology. I don't know if he said holy shh or not. Some people say he did, and then it becomes like a thing, even though, you know, like everybody and their brother says the word, it's still, you know, 1950s with the FCC. So if that happened, I apologize. Doug, if that happened, I apologize.
Could have been saying something completely
but
different.
But it wasn't clear if he
holy
said
geez.
It.
Holy jeez. I think he said sheesh.
I think he caught himself.
Could well have been something just like that, Chuck.
Thanks, Doug. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you know Mr. Fuji was Oddjob?
Doug?
Oh, was he really?
In the James Bond movies?
Yeah, I did not know that.
See?
That
was the same guy? Same guy.
Now, his Oddjob, he'd take off his hat and throw it, and that hat would have like a knife edge around it.
That's correct.
Cut people's head off with a flying hat.
Oh, really? Oh.
And yes, Yokozuna was what really put him on the map as a manager. However, he had a long, illustrious career as a wrestler, dating back, Doug, even to the 70s here. And,
Mr. Fuji did?
Mr. Fuji.
Oh, I thought he was just strictly a manager, Chuck.
No, he started out as a scrapper.
He went from a James Bond movie to the wrestling ring.
No, he went from wrestling to James Bond odd job to then a manager.
Gotcha.
A few thoughts on Mr. Fuji there. Any thoughts on what Kelly Chase had to say? I really enjoyed his assessment of the Game 7 and guys recognizing that this might be it. You know, and again, you're talking about some guys in their 20s. Backes just turned 32. But they're free agents. You don't know what will happen this offseason. And you've seen some guys go from incredible teams to crap teams. Saw that with some of the Blackhawks. and you don't know if you'll be back. I mean, you are a win away from the Western Conference Finals. This is closer than this organization has been in the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the sweat, whether it be in the offseason, during the regular season, the first round, and the first six games of the second round, you don't know if you're going to be back. And I recall when I did the show with Edmonds, and I would ask him about postseason losses. And if you recall, they went 0-3 as far as winning a pennant in his first 3 years with the Cardinals, 2000, 2001, 2002. And I said, so what were those like? Because they were all different. The Mets series, you had the Ankiel follow-up blow-up start. And they just really kind of got dominated by Mike Hampton and Al Leiter. The next year, they played the world champions with Schilling and Johnson. No offense on Arizona, but such great starting pitching. And the Cardinals knew, and both the Diamondbacks and Cardinals knew, that whoever won that thing was going to go to the World Series because the Braves were waiting, and they just weren't that great. And then 2002, you had the Daryl Kyle passing, Jack Buck passing, and the fact that team felt like it was a team of destiny. So it was all three different kind of losses, and Edmund said each time, you think to yourself, my God, this is how much time and work it took to get just to this point, and now we've got to go back and do it all again just to get to this point. And what Chase said, which I thought was interesting, and it almost ties in with what Brian Lawton said earlier in the show at around 8:15, is Lawton observed how Lindy Ruff played a lot of guys who were under the age of 26 last night, and it's not like the Blues are, you know, old, but you have had a number of guys who have been here for a while, this core that we speak of. And when you're younger, you think it's just human nature. You think, okay, we're here, we're automatically going to get back. Well, you never know what the health of the team is going to be. And you also never know what the makeup of the team is going to be. And, of course, you don't know what the opposition is going to be, and you might not have the opportunity to get back. But along the lines of after having a few years under your belt, you recognize this might be my last chance, even if I'm in my late 20s, to hold the Stanley Cup while I'm wearing a jersey and sweating, as opposed to going out there like Chase, I'm sure, would do if the Blues were able to win the Stanley Cup, and he'd get the chance to lift it, but he'd be wearing a suit. And there's a big difference and an appreciation for that. And that's what, now I saw some people, and it's fine if people have that opinion. I'm not going to hot take you in a debate, but you know, wanting to fire Hitchcock, let Backes go, and if they lose this series, going into the season, I said if they didn't get past the second round, you have to make changes. I've changed my opinion based on new information, and that is the manner with which they performed, considering the injuries they dealt with during the regular season and getting past the Chicago Blackhawks and three wins against the Dallas Stars. It's a hell of a lot different than getting eliminated by the Minnesota Wild in the first round. If people still have that opinion, God bless. But from the perspective of the range of outcomes by what takes place tomorrow, a loss, and it'll be viewed as, oh, that was a really good team in the regular season. They did get past the defending Stanley Cup champions, but once again, they fizzled out in the second round. Or it's a team that, in a rather sad commentary on the organization's history since the early 1970s, will have been one of three teams to make it to the conference finals. And, you're talking 86, 2001, and in 2016, and what they can do. In 2001, I believe the Avalanche were the favorite. I know they had home ice, and they had traded for Ray Bourque. They already had Patrick Waugh. They had Joe Sakic. Forsberg was a part of the team. I don't remember who was on talking about it, but he had the spleen thing, so he didn't play. But, God, you had so many different guys on that team that were just superstars that you look back on it. The Blues were not expected to win that series. The Blues would be the favorite to win against San Jose or Nashville. That's not to disregard San Jose or Nashville. The Blues were the favorite to win against the Stars in Las Vegas, and that's the team that had 109 points and won the West and had home ice. But the Blues would be the favorite. And just observing what you could see here is tomorrow night either they join a long list of teams that couldn't get past the second round, and that it was a real long list, considering how many years they were in the playoffs and how many years they failed to get to the conference finals, or they're a team that got to the conference finals and could legitimately be the team that could bring the Stanley Cup to St. Louis. And I don't know if I necessarily felt that way in 2001. You're, of course, hopeful if your team's one of the final four, but you knew you were up against a damn good team in Colorado. And again, that's not to say San Jose or Nashville are not damn good teams. It's just this year, the buzzsaw, being serious, Buzzsaw Kings or Blackhawks or even a Ducks team that finished, you know, the second half of the season on a tear is not waiting there. That's not to dismiss San Jose, and as Chase said, getting past the Kings, which was so big for them, or how well Nashville seems to play in the latter portions of series. But, I mean, the range is massive tomorrow night. They lose against Chicago. You go, well, who knows what they could have done it. And they're just going to part ways with a bunch of guys who you knew were on the clock anyway. They lose tomorrow night. I don't know what they do. I'm sure a number of people won't be back. But if they win it, as opposed to just getting past the Blackhawks, you're talking about a real potential Stanley Cup run.
Yeah, if we're up to me, even if they lose, I wouldn't want to make a bunch of changes. I think they've got the group together here. This team is as good as any in hockey. I would be very careful about subtracting key parts. A coach, Backes, Shattenkirk, I'd be very careful about losing any of those guys. I'd be fine bringing the same group back, even if they lost tomorrow.
Whenever talking about Backes, though, I think people should all realize that, like, if you say something about Backes, it's not necessarily an indictment on him as a player. It's the fact that you are in a salary-capped league. It's not like baseball. You have to make tough decisions with guys who are going to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And a guy who is 32, you know, if you say, okay, we're going to re-sign a guy to a 4 or 5 year deal who's 32, maybe that means we can't sign one of our 22 or 23-year-olds to a longer deal. Those are the hard decisions you have to make. Teams that win the Cup and have to, you know, the Hawks, they get rid of Patrick Sharp. And you see these teams, they can't keep all these players when they make on these runs. That's just the nature of hockey.
Right. You know, and every roster has turnover, no matter what you do during the season. You know, 10%, 15%, every roster. It happens every year.
The Blues had pretty big turnover. If you look at their roster this year, I'm not saying necessarily key players, but you look at guys who have made impacts this year, it's a lot of guys who were not there last year. Mm-hmm. If you start with Braco and Edmondson, then you have Brouwer, you have Upshaw. I mean, there's a lot of guys that were not here in previous years.
Right. There will be changes, but I'm saying I wouldn't make the changes based on the fact that we lost Game 7 against Dallas, not happy that we didn't go all the way.
Well, I mean, I understand that, and I know that's always your platform. That's not what I was discussing, and I'm not disagreeing with you for the record. I'm just saying it's not what I was discussing. What I'm saying is this is a huge range here. You know, now, again, some, and maybe the organization will feel, or maybe Ken Hitchcock has already decided that he is not coming back. I have no idea on that. He's, you know, not under contract. And then there are guys who inevitably will be gone, and that's just the nature of the business, as you were both discussing. But I'm talking about going from, you know, just getting past the Blackhawks, which was huge. You didn't go, wow. I mean, they're still part of eight teams remaining at that point. Now you're one of four. I would imagine whoever wins the Capitals Penguins is going to be the favorite, no matter whether it's the Blues or Stars who advance. But you are the favorite to win the West for certain, which was not the case in 2001. I don't know what the case was in 1986. May God help the degenerate who knows the odds on the 1986 Campbell Conference Finals between the Blues and Flames. But as far as the likelihood of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals, I would say it's never been greater from a mathematical standpoint, from a probability standpoint, again, because they were the underdog against the Colorado Avalanche. They would not be the underdog against the Sharks or the Predators. And so you go from that possibility to it's just another team that didn't get past the second round. That's how history will look at it. Similarly to a great team 20 years ago, Steve Yzerman, ending the Blues over John Casey's shoulder in that Game 7. That's what I'm talking about with range. I'm not talking about this guy should go, this guy should go. I'm just talking about, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours from now, the feeling is so vast as to what it could be on one end versus the other. It's a unique spot in the organization's history.
It would be nice if they had a cornerstone defenseman like a Mr. Fuji, who could really take some of the heat off some of the other guys. I think that's pretty much what it gets down to. You might be a player short, and it's probably somebody of the Fuji ilk.
Can I say, by the way, I made a mistake, first time ever. I read that wrong. He actually based his character and outfit, the wardrobe, on Odd Job. Wow. He didn't actually play Odd Job, but Odd Job was played by another former professional wrestler.
Well, who was
How about that?
That?
His name's like Yamamoto or something.
I think that's offensive.
No, that's actually his name because I looked it up.
Let's alert Henshin.
Yeah, Henshin's listening in South Dakota. He'll let me know. It is the 9 o'clock hour. We went into the 9 o'clock hour with Kelly Chase, and the 9 o'clock hour is presented by Tease Farms. They are the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Grow your own blueberry plants like Doug and go out there and pick your own strawberries. Locations in Maryland Heights, St. Charles, and North Hanley. Let Tease Farm and Greenhouses be your one-stop shop for all your gardening needs. Tease Farm. The official shrub sponsor and sponsor of the 9 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Yeah, Charlie.
Yes, an odd job was played by Doug, Harold Sakata,
okay,
whose ring name was Tosh Togo.
Oh.
And Sakata was actually the silver medalist, 1948 Summer Olympics in London in weightlifting.
Wow. Huh. Very nice. And a lot of people think it's Asia Akira, but it's Asa Akira.
Who? Who's that? Who's she play for?
She's an actress. So I want to make sure that that's
awesome.
As we kind of have a theme to the 9 o'clock hour right now. Let's continue that theme. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah. Well, hello, Mike.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
You should tell Tara about you and Matt Penny the other day.
Yes, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Blue lost, huh?
Blue's lost, yeah, because you weren't there.
Mike Caluso won't give me a ticket.
Well, I know. Maybe he'll learn from his ways, and next time they face a key game, you'll get your tickets.
Like I say, well, that they won.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just disappointing, the whole deal.
Yeah, I talked to Penny yesterday. She said she still loved me.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. You two are quite a couple. You're a lucky guy.
And yesterday I went out with Jessica.
You did?
Yeah.
Where'd you go? The dudes.
We went out, meet Jessica.
Who's Jessica?
Yeah.
Second filly in the paddock.
Yeah,
where'd you go,
I like Jessica better.
Where did you go, the Deuces?
We just went out.
Where?
You go vague.
Somewhere?
Go to Paulie Mono's? You go to Paulie Mono's right across from the Steak and Shake, get work out, baby?
No, we just went right around with her.
No, I see.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just ride around.
Well, that's fun. That's fun.
Anything for Doug before I cut you off quickly?
What?
You know, I got Penny and says she still loves me.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Beautiful girl, Mike. You're a lucky man.
I'm drinking Starbucks coffee right now.
You're drinking Starbucks sexy coffee?
Yeah. Make my ass sexy.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
You white grab my ass.
Put him down.
Wow.
Put him down.
Yeah, he's kind of on a cuck theme right now.
Doug, what's going on there?
Mike Lee's been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name, even as we speak, is going into the Nagazis. Leather-bound suspension, log heel. You know what tonight is at Ragazzi's? All-you-can-eat fried chicken.
Doesn't that
sound pretty good right about now?
Really does.
Charlie, like I said, you and Doug have been eliminated from our fantasy baseball league.
Did you see the moves I made last week and how it sparked my club to what I thought was like the greatest offensive week in the history of fantasy until I saw Tim's week?
Thank you.
But I did hit 19 jacks in 1 week.
He had like 140 total bases. This always happens against me.
Tim had like 56 RBIs.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing what I've done again.
I'm telling you, my team now, I am very bullish on my squad moving forward. My pitching is lined up.
Doug, the reason I bring this up is because since both of you have been mathematically eliminated by the Southside Seaman, you can play nightly on DraftKings. Baseball's in full swing. You can experience the thrill of daily fantasy baseball all season long at DraftKings.com. With daily fantasy at DraftKings, there are no season-long commitments. It's like a brand-new season every time you play, and playing is simple. You just draft two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and outscore the competition to turn your love of baseball into cash. Only DraftKings brings the excitement of fantasy baseball to this level. With every strikeout, diving catch, and monster home run bringing you closer to payday, millions of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. New contests start daily, so hurry to DraftKings.com now. Enter promo code 920 and play for free with your first deposit in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That's promo code 920 to play for free in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Check it out, DraftKings.com. I went to that Paul Mono's on Friday night. Have you ever been there? Have you ever taken Jess there? Isn't it just...
I've been there once, and it was fantastic.
I mean, I'm telling you. I don't know if there are a number of places I love to dine in the St. Louis area. But I don't know if we have better meals than when we're at Paul Mono's.
Hmm. I've not been there, Tim. I eat most of my meals out of a cardboard box at my desk, served up by Lady Journalism.
You go up to Quick Trip and get a nice hot sandwich.
Frozen meal. No, I don't even have time for that. Just a little frozen dinner. Stick it in the microwave about 3-4 minutes. Sit there at the desk and eat it.
What, like a lean cuisine?
Something like that.
Really? You eat that stuff?
Yeah.
Charlie's disappointed in you.
Yeah. Well, I'm disappointed in myself, too, but that's what it is.
You're a healthy eater, though. Like yesterday at the game, I didn't see you going and eating a bunch of chips like me.
No, I don't eat chips.
You got the free chips, the free pretzels, the free peanuts.
I had some raisins.
Yeah, Doug went and got this mixture. It was kind of like a trail mix.
Yeah, really.
You know, it had raisins, some nuts, some other little coconut pieces. And Doug comes back with this little bowl. Did you take a picture of that, by the way?
You know what? I didn't.
No joke.
I didn't think I was that blessed.
Well, you showed everybody in the press box.
Just free food sitting right there on the table.
You showed everybody in the press box.
I didn't.
You held it up.
Well, because there was some raisin cluster.
Yeah, he had a cluster, like
they were stuck together.
46 raisins somehow.
Giant raisin ball.
In like a ball the size of a golf ball.
The likes of which I haven't seen. But I did not take I guess I should have taken a photo.
So we all had a nice chuckle. I said, ha, ha, ha.
Doug, the service is so good at Palmanos, too. Thanks, Stephen Wildwood.
Emailed
the day leader.
Yeah. Just by that? Maybe he works.
No. By emailing in. The morning after InsideSTL.com gift certificate to the Post is our prize today. Stephen Wildwood, Matt, who bowls at Hank's, leading Cucky and Misty Plops. This is an amazing time. It's a fun time.
Okay.
It's a fun time. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, that's a good treat. That is a good treat.
Where did you say that Palmanos is?
On Olive, right across the street from Mike Lee's Steak and Shake.
Okay, I can't place exactly where it is. That's not really my hood.
I guess it is Chesterfield, although it doesn't seem like Chesterfield to me.
Kind of in a strip mall looking spot.
Boy, it's good. I am telling you. Holy moly.
I'd say Palmanos and then that Applebee's in Maplewood.
A good spot. It's a good spot. That's more likely where I would eat.
You got 2 for $20, the 2 for $20 deal. You get
an
entree.
Yeah.
You get two of them.
Mm-hmm. Doug, on your cheat day, will you eat toasted ravioli off my pecs? Thanks, Juan from the PP Corps.
No, sir, I won't.
Well, it's out there if you want it. It's up to you.
No, I'm not interested in that. I'll eat toasted ravioli, of course.
Tim, Palmanos is great. The real foodies I know call it their fave. That comes from Betty Humpter.
Oh, sure. You've picked the best restaurant, Tim. All the foodies agree with you.
I thought foodies like stuff like in the city limits proper. And those are usually the kind of restaurants that I personally don't like.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, why don't you like lesbianism? We all have our different things.
Yeah, seriously.
What?
Thank you, Charlie.
Like, let me tell you.
Is that really related?
A good example of a restaurant that the foodies would like, but I also like.
Oh, now, this is a fun game. It's been 2.5 hours of hockey talk. I need this.
It's a fun time to be alive.
It's one of those places. It's a little hipstery. Doug, but in a good way.
I am anxious to hear what this is, boy.
Sounds like something on the loop.
I went there with my fiance on Friday night.
Enough of the build-up, boy.
The Shaved Duck.
Great barbecue there, I hear tell.
Great
spot. You did
spot.
A remote there.
Yes. You know what? Nick and the Badger, I think when it opened, we did a remote
2010,
there.
Doug. Remember that one? Was it March 2010?
No, I don't
2010,
remember.
Doug, was it?
I don't.
Was it April?
I don't.
Either way, my fiance got some meatloaf. Fantastic. What did I get? I can't even remember.
Think about it. Play the time code music.
Last time we went, we got like these fries, Doug, that had like pulled pork on the fries.
On the fry proper.
Unbelievable.
You talk about some yield.
Unbelievable.
Now, what is the...
Oh, I got... What did I get? I can't even remember what I got, and it was really good. Just keep talking.
What is the meaning of the name Shaved Duck?
I don't know.
Don't you ask that kind of question? You walk in there, what's a shaved duck?
I got a big bowl of gumbo. That's what I got.
Oh, my. Look at you.
And it was fantastic.
Doug, Palmanos is on the eastern border of Chesterfield. I like that.
Eastern border. Really? So it's before Clarkson? Or Olive turns into Clarkson as it crosses
Like, I'll either highway. Go 270 to Olive or go 40 to 141, and then you get off at Olive there. It's right there. It is good, man, for real. I'd like to take you. Seamaster, you ever been there? Maybe I'll take everybody.
I have not.
Plow Shark, I can't imagine, but I'll just ask.
No. Do they make like a microwavable meal that like Steak and Shake does with their chili?
We can get you some Steak and Shake chili mac and run it across Olive.
Perfect.
For when our food's served. It's nice. I just cut down on my expense.
Mm-hmm. Considerably.
Also, when we were at the Shaved Duck, I saw this coaster for a type of beer I'd never heard of, Doug, and it's called White Rascal. And
I think that's racist.
No, it's just the name of the beer. And I said, I want that to be my nickname. So if you guys from now on can call me
All right.
Rascal. I'd like to get that going, and I want that to be my nickname. You're not supposed to choose your nickname, but I want that to be mine.
Why does that name appeal
I just
to
think
you?
It's funny.
Tell Charlie nobody cares about his meatloaf. What a loser. Thanks.
I don't think I've ever, one time in my life, gone to a restaurant and ordered meatloaf.
It was really good.
Was it?
Fantastic. Everything there is good.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you were taken with it.
Yep. Watched the Cardinals game, sat at the bar.
But it's usually those restaurants with kind of like, they sound like, they could be the names of Las Vegas clubs, you know, like an abstract thought.
Oh, yeah. Desires.
Like surrender. That's it. Mm-hmm. The Win or Encore or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, Tryst. Those types of restaurants, that ain't my bag. And Anna Marie will go, you might want to check the menu. This is where we're going. You know, it's, we're doing something with somebody, and she knows it's not my thing.
Do you guys want to go to Benevolence? What does that mean?
I don't know, but it must be a good place.
It's just not usually my bag. I'm a simple man from the working class area of South St. Louis.
Yeah, just a burger will do.
That's all I need, baby. That's all I need.
That's all I am. I can go. I go to Red Lobster. I'll go to Applebee's.
I can too.
I'll go to Chili's. I'll go to any of those spots. People are like, yeah. Oh, why do you go to chain restaurants? Who cares? It's all the same.
Right.
I mean, it's not all the same, but it's fine.
It's fine for me, Chuck. It's better than eating out of the cardboard box.
Exactly.
Shaved duck is good. Shaved Doug is better. Thanks, Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foiler.
Why wouldn't you shave a duck? What would be the purpose of
that? Before you eat it?
You're going to shave it?
You shave your bush, bro?
Ah! We were talking about ducks.
Yeah, but I mean, he was talking about
I don't think I could eat a duck either. And I don't really want rabbit. Nope, I'll pass on the Hasenpfeffer.
Ooh, Hasenpfeffer.
I don't want to eat a rabbit. And I don't really want to eat a duck.
You just want a nice cow.
Something like that. Something that, you know.
Or chicken.
Pig, you know.
Grumpy due to a Blues loss, and I get in the car, and the stupid white rascal is flapping his gums. It's going to be a crap day. Look, Charlie, it's catching on.
I like it. My goal is, if I'm still here 4 or 5 years from now, God help me, I want people just to call me the white rascal.
And I like that.
I don't want anyone to even know my real name.
I mean, nobody even knows the cat's real name.
Right.
I don't. Like, I just have it on his tax form, the cat, and I hope it gets to him.
Right. It's weird, too, when people call him Jim. It's gotten to the point where it's like, what?
I call him Jim sometimes.
When you block him.
He deserved to be blocked. He was mean-spirited.
Is he still blocked, or do you unblock
him? No, he's still blocked.
I'm unblocked. Yeah. I helped Doug with his
I had a car
issue.
Yeah, Charlie had to take me somewhere.
So that's all it takes to perform a task.
Something like that, yeah.
Guys, I went to this place called Scape in the CWE Friday.
Oh.
And it was dog S. So the Baldwin bottom feeder.
Food no good, huh?
Yes, I don't know.
You know what spot I like down in the CWE?
No.
Is it Gamblin Whiskey House?
Yes.
That's a good spot.
The Gamblin Whiskey House.
No, I think it's Gamblin.
Yeah.
My buddy manages that, actually.
Oh, is that right, Plushar?
It's absolutely fantastic, yes.
They have really good seafood there.
I think they got a nice clientele of broods.
I remember being there. I think it was on maybe Friday night. And, yeah, there was some nice scenery, Doug.
Hmm.
The best-looking women in St. Louis hang out where? Go.
Restaurant?
Bah.
I've only been there one time. I guess one time as a bar and one time to eat, but I always hear everybody goes to Napoli. I've never really experienced it, but I hear that a lot.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually, in my experience.
You think if you weren't terribly attractive and Napoli had a reputation for having the attractive women, you would shy away from that place?
No. I was just asking in general. I was asking because I was curious.
Oh, I understand. But I'm saying if you're a girl and Napoli has this reputation, that's where the best-looking women are. I'll go somewhere else.
Well, I think it's just a little, you know, higher dollar. And so, you know, that's where some who want that are going to congregate.
I think the girls will go, like, wherever the local sportscasters get off at. You know, they get off at 10:30.
Right.
So by 11, they want to go to the spot where the local guys are.
Well, they hang out just outside the station.
Correct.
Hoping to catch a picture or something.
And the meteorologist.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to open an eatery called Trib. Only thing we will serve is a plate of two tacos. It's from the Wright City Lemming.
It's the only thing on the menu. Why don't you stick out in Wright City?
The one time I went to Bar Napoli to actually eat about 4 or 5 years ago, Jeff Fisher posted up.
Wow.
hanging out.
Was he?
Drinking a little wine.
Oh, don't you eat at Cafe Napoli?
Whichever.
Is that the place next to it?
I think so. But they're the same ownership, correct?
That's correct.
I would imagine the guy's name's Napoli.
It's not.
Cafe and bar.
Guys, the best-looking broads are at Pietro's. Thanks, that's from the Dragon. That's where he used to bust tables.
Oh, that's right.
That waiter would have me get on a
Now, what was his
chair.
Name, that fellow?
Frank.
Frank.
Bus! Where's Bus?
He
couldn't give me the kindness to call me by my name. He would call me Bus, as in Bus Boy. And then he would go in the third room and have me stand on a chair and look me over. And in hindsight...
You didn't stand on a chair?
You think that was a little weird at the time?
Well, in most instances in my life, I have to stand on a chair to see things. So I'm used to standing on a chair, whereas you guys aren't. Where's Tyler, the bus boy?
Of good-looking women. I've also heard and seen a little bit that Brio, the bar, that's kind of the cougar spot.
If you got a couple divorces under your belt, that's the place to go.
Is it really?
We went up there for Mother's Day for Anna Marie's family's brunch.
It's a really good restaurant.
Ristorante.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Underrated place for broads is the...
all of a sudden, we got another chairman of the board.
The Red Lobster in O'Fallon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You can't be serious.
Well, not of my age, but if you're looking for a cougar or a puma or, you know, something like that.
And Red Lobster?
They have a bar there?
In O'Fallon, yeah.
There's a bar at the restaurant.
I think they have happy hours 3 to 6, something like that, and it gets bumping.
Last time I went to the Red Lobster was the one in Crestwood. I sat down. It was with John Vaughn. I sat down, and it was busy all around us, and we sat, and we sat. And the waitresses are walking all around, and we sat. And we sat some more, and they're giving food to people who arrived after we sat down. And we sat, and we sat, and I'm telling you, 30 minutes went by, and no waitress ever came.
You didn't say anything.
I did at one point. I said, can we see a menu? Yeah, I'll get right to you. And we sat, and no one ever came. So we got up and left.
Did they at least come over and bring the Cheddar Bay biscuits?
No, we got nothing.
Oh,
bad. It's like we were invisible.
Maybe they saw your sportscast.
You think that's what it was? It could have been. Probably was.
Guys, the Wheelhouse downtown has the hottest gay bartenders. Thank you. That's from Ray King, who is a bartender at...
Right. Trying to lure others into
Wheelhouse.
The lair.
Wheelhouse has fine. It's fine.
Well, what is? What are you talking
Some
about?
Some of the broads of Wheelhouse.
Oh.
For the reals, though.
All right.
Doug, back when you were a young tyke, where were the hot spots?
Westport was big, and the Landing was big. Those were the hot spots. I don't think any of the bars were still around that were big.
America's
Muddy
Pub?
Muddy Waters called, was big.
Were they called saloons back then?
Not really.
Swinging doors?
Not so much, but there was always a place to park the stagecoach.
Guys, the hottest butt sluts over the age of 80 all hang out at the Fountain Cafeteria up in Gravois. It comes from my shade, my balls. Hey, ref, for this. There's the text of the day. It just got shipped.
If you were 80 years old, would you even care about having a relationship?
Sure you do.
Why?
If you're healthy, yes.
But you wouldn't really have a sexual relationship, would
you? How do you know?
I'm just guessing.
I'm sure some of them do. If they're healthy enough, sure.
I don't know. Plowsy says yes. I feel like at that point you just don't really care that much about
Well, you say that because you're not at that point.
Probably a lot of work, though.
You probably thought there was a time when you're 34. Oh, geez, I'll just... chuck it in at 34.
I'll be 34.
I won't care anything at all when I'm 34.
I'll be 34 in like 3 weeks.
I don't know.
I just have a feeling if you're 80, I'm guessing your batting average is not very good. You know what I'm saying?
If you're a man, you'd have the big pick because there's about 15 women for every guy at the age of 80.
Sweet. It's going to be like my 40th birthday.
You know, I have an aunt who is still alive. Great, great lady. I want to say she's about 85. And, her first husband passed away, and then she, like, this next guy kind of became her partner, her companion, and he was, like, 20 years older. So he was, like, I swear he was, like, 100. You know, she was, like, 79, he was, like, 96. But it was great because they were just kind of, they hung out.
Well, I mean, you can't really bring the noise like Lexington Steel at that point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's companionship. You're sitting there, you're watching.
You just lie next to each other and watch Wheel of Fortune and pleasure yourselves?
I suppose with Viagra and Cialis, maybe you can.
You're doing crossword puzzles?
I don't know. Maybe we should go live at the Del Mar Gardens and ask these questions and get some real answers. I suppose those people that are healthy are still looking to have relationships. Sure, why wouldn't you?
Like there's a Hitachi magic wand in the nightstand and the picture of the grandkids.
I didn't say that.
I'm asking because I don't know.
I don't know either. But
the Flames were the favorites in 86.
I'm assuming no matter how old you are, if you're still healthy and active, yeah, you don't just shut it down. You don't just lose that innate desire to be in a relationship.
Well, I think you don't lose the desire, but sometimes you lose the capability.
Well, there's no doubt about that, yeah.
Like you always see like Anna Nicole Smith, you know, when she was...
That was about money.
Like 30 years old, and she had like the 90-year-old dude. Like he's, yeah. You know what? I get it. I get that transaction from both sides of the negotiating table. I understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're a 90-year-old dude, you have a bunch of money. Why not?
Yeah, you can't blame him. I'm sure the rest of his family was upset by it. Didn't they take him to court and everything?
Probably.
They're thinking, when will this guy die? When will we get our millions? And then he hooks up with a 23-year-old Playboy centerfold, and she walks away with it all. I could see where the family might be a little bit upset by that.
But if you're his son, wouldn't you be kind of be like, yeah. Or like, you know.
Probably not.
The grandson.
No, like, probably not.
Like, come on, grandpa's getting after it. Like, hey, good for him. He's 90. He built this wealth.
Might guys, I'd love fun. To have erections. Thanks, Tony the Plow Dow.
We didn't need that, Tony. No, if you're the son of the old-timer, I don't think you'd say, oh, good, Dad's finally happy. Finally found somebody just right for him. She's 71 years younger than him. Perfect.
I'm just saying, from a guy standpoint, from like a bro standpoint, you'd be like, attaboy. That's what I'm saying.
If it was somebody else's, yeah.
But you're looking relative. At it strictly monetarily. I would be looking at it from my father's happiness
standpoint. You'd think, boy, this woman is trying to take advantage of him any way she possibly can.
But that's what it is. She's taking advantage of him. He's getting something out of the deal. This is America. This is what happens.
Charlie, I got to let the listeners know that this discussion is in the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour. They're the official shrub sponsor, 9 o'clock hour sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Looking forward to the emails for our email today. Guys, the hot chicks in St. Louis hang out in a place called Chicago or other cities until they're 28. Then they move to Brentwood Forest and bang the same guys they did in high school. Thank you, Mario in Chicago.
Is that how it works?
That's a good text.
That's a very good text.
So he's not 28 yet, and he'll be back here shortly. Or his girlfriend will, anyway.
Those Pandolfos, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're a snootful, both of them.
Sailor Jerry Spice Rum is created in honor of Norman Sailor Jerry Collins' undisputed father, the old school tattoo. A Navy vet who built his rep, inking soldiers and sailors in WW2 era Honolulu. A true American icon and a stubborn son of a bitch who never compromised his standards. Right, this is the copy, baby.
Okay.
This is the copy. We make our rum to keep his legacy alive. Sailor Jerry Spice Rum is made the old school way, 92 proof, bold and smooth as hell. Wonderful.
Yeah. A curse word in the copy proper.
Now, how do you explain that to John Vaughn?
I can't.
Yes, Charlie. Yes, white rascal.
Thank you. Thank you. I looked this up. Anna Nicole Smith in 1994, Doug, she was about, let's say, 27-ish.
Oh, yeah.
And she married J. Howard Marshall, who at the time was 89.
They probably just had a lot in common. They had a bunch of the same friends and everything, enjoyed the same activities.
It's funny because the Wikipedia, the page for Anna Nicole Smith is this, like, beautiful shot of her. You know, she looks gorgeous. It's in color. And the shot of him, he looks like he's like somebody from back in the 1910s. Like he's Andrew Carnegie. J. Howard Marshall.
Don't you think that he would have made her sign a prenuptial agreement anyway?
But if he's
she would
so old
no.
that he doesn't have all of his faculties, I think that's probably the legal issue there.
Well, so was she married just a guy who was, like, in bed all the time or a vegetable state or what?
I think she married for love.
Yeah. Kids today. I don't know. And she got it all, too, right? And then she died.
I don't know how
that.
It all worked. He was married three times, though. He married Eleanor Pierce.
Oh, sure.
And got divorced. Yeah. And then he married Betty Bohannon.
I remember Betsy. Yeah.
Betty.
Betty.
She unfortunately passed away in 91.
Hmm. But he probably had a bunch of kids or some.
He had J. Howard Marshall III, and he had E. Pierce Marshall.
Ugh, E. Pierce, give me a break. E. Pierce Marshall. But can I be D. Elvin Vaughn?
Yeah.
Does that sound like classier?
Yeah, that's old money there, baby.
If he can be the white rascal, I can be D. Elvin.
How about this? I didn't know this. This gentleman, J. Howard Marshall, he sided with Koch Industries. So the father of the current Koch brothers, you know, that are the big...
Darnell Koch.
Donors, they had like a business relationship. How about that, Doug?
Hmm. Think about it.
Okay, I'm thinking.
Bertarelli Cutlery is the sponsor of the Cuts of the Week. I feel like this discussion will probably be featured heavily on Friesbin at 9:30 when we're out broadcasting live from Normandy for the first annual free Dotem Open. Wow, wow, wow. Doug, tell the listeners about Bertarelli.
Bertarelli would like to do something, Tim.
What?
They would like to thank everyone for coming out to Edges for Pledges this year. Mission Taco and Bertarelli Cutlery will be donating $1,600 to Backstoppers, and they look forward to the event again next year. That's the event where you bring your knives or whatever to be sharpened, and all the proceeds go right to the Backstoppers. Raised $1,600 this year out at Bertarelli Cutlery. If you haven't had a chance to visit the showroom, Bertarelli will be bringing the showroom to the free Dotem Open. And we'll have Wusthof knives and Benchmade pocket knives along with a few other items. I don't know that it's a real good idea to have a bunch of knives out with our listeners because some of them are recently out of prison or, you know, they're at a halfway house now, most of them. And I don't know that tempting them with knives is necessarily a good thing. But we do know this. They'll be sharp if they come from Bertarelli. Stop by and see their booth at the start of the tournament at the Free Dotem Open. That's Bertarelli Cutlery down on the hill.
Well done, Doug.
Mm-hmm. 1927 Marconi on the hill, to be a little bit
Thank
more
you.
Specific.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with that email of the day. It's next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.